Hey?
Hey, Nick.
Hey, Sam, what's up?
Oh, man. We are having some connection issues, but this should feel better, right?
Yeah, this works.
Okay, I don't know what just happened.
It's all good. It's all good.
All right, but yeah, let's just start from where we were talking about. How's the tour going so far?
It's going okay, man. We're in Milwaukee last night, and that was pretty fun. A guy came on stage in his Halloween costume, like he was called MF Snacks. It was pretty
Nice.
funny. And he gave bread to everyone in the audience.
That's pretty cool. Now,
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I only assume things like that happen pretty often. I mean, like, you guys have been touring for a while now. It kind of seems like that. You consider yourself road dogs at this point, or is it just kind of part of the job?
Oh man, I'll take the road dog moniker. I don't know. I think I've built a couple of years away from dog.
I mean, like, look, I'm just like looking at what you've been doing. You
A bit
guys are
more of
promoting a new album.
youthful vigor.
And then it just seems like you were playing like essentially every festival last year. And I'm curious, did you ever leave the road?
Cost you there, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the question.
No, I just wanted to just ask that, but like I have been rocking with you as far as your solo stuff, as far as your time with Tame
Oh,
Impala,
man.
as well as obviously Pine. So I'm just saying thank you for just talking to
Shit is what
us.
you're saying.
Yeah, man. Hello? Did we lose him?
Hello?
Hey, Nick, you still here, right?
Yeah, lots of what you're saying.
Yeah, we're having some connection issues. I get it. You're traveling. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Okay,
No.
let's try again.
No, I get it. What I was saying, man, I have been rocking with you. I have been following your work, as well as Pond, your independent stuff, your time with Tame Impala. I am a fan of what you guys are putting out, you personally, you know.
Oh, fuck you. Thank you.
Now, I have read different things over the years where your music has been classified as many things. Some say prog rock, some just say artistic, some all the subgenres you could throw at it. I gotta ask, how would you classify it? And that's how I'm going to classify it for the rest of my life.
Oh man, I don't know. It's hard to classify anything. I don't know, man. I don't know. That's too hard. I
Honestly,
think
that does make sense.
hey.
It because you guys. Let me break it down like this. You guys are across the board, and you guys kind of move with whatever feeling you have. Like the latest album you guys came out with last year is Weather. And that has what I would like to call different themes per songs. Like you get a song like 30,000 Megatons or Sweep Me Off My Feet, which has very different sounds, but the things they have in common, other than you made them, they talk about more political or social climate changes within the world we talk about now. And then you jump into something like Paint Me Silver, which is like just like the world's greatest pop song. I gotta say, how do you go from those transitions, or is it just kind of a feeling?
Yeah, it's all complete. Yeah, it's just a feeling. You're sort of going along with what you're, with what the music says, or it, what you're thinking about. Like, I feel like I was probably just as just as sort of passionate about whatever the fuck I was thinking about writing Paint Me Silver as I was writing like 30,000 Megatons. Although 30,000 Megatons has like way more obvious, you know, like weight.
Right.
All the other ones are still, you know, they're still weighty to me.
And I get it, and I understand it. Like, and just since we're just talking about the album itself, let's talk about like a song, a record like "Sweep Me Off Your Feet," which is kind of like this dance disco feeling, more of a groove type feeling.
Yeah, I mean, we were sort of like, I do remember being. The album Yeezus, and like the really, really, really heavy bass.
Right.
Stones that Yeezus. And I really like how, I mean, we were like trying to do something where it was like kind of apocalyptic, like heavy, dark, apocalyptic bass. And then when you add the chords over the top of it, it changes feeling.
Okay. Look.
Yeah.
I've just given examples of your work mainly because, like I said, I am a fan first, podcaster second, I guess, in this case. While speaking with you, like, you guys are always churning out new music, whether that be, like I said, with your solo work, different projects that you're working on. Do you ever have things that like really explore and experiment your creativity, push it even further? Because like I said, like the record Weather, you know, different feelings for different things, but what is the thing that I guess pushing your creativity, or do you find that, or is it just kind of like in the moment?
Shit, and I have no idea. It's like part of it's just habit now, I think. It's hard to put the actual original like creative impulse. I have no idea. It's just like some people want to do that, and some people don't. I think it's a lot of it's got like less magical beginnings. Like, I think a lot of the creative impulse from like insecure people wanting to prove themselves. But for me, a lot of it now is just habit. Like, I don't know how else to get out feelings in a lot of ways, and thoughts, and like if I'm not creating something new, I feel terrible.
That's something. Hey, that when I ask for that thing that push you, that's what it is. Well, maybe this is a toss-up question. Do you write on the road?
Oh man, barely. Yeah, it's fucking hard to do anything on the road. I find it's pretty messed up. It's like there's so little time or personal space. So you're just like in this constant state of like moving and being completely static as well, and working but kind of not working at all. It's just this big limbo. so it's a bit hard to write, yeah.
Okay. Now, here's one thing, Nat. This is the million-dollar question. It was, honestly, like I said, as a fan, this is the only question I wanted to ask you. Out of, if I don't ask anything else, I wanted to ask this question.
Okay.
Because, especially like in the last album, we talked about how you kind of write and you put out a record and the song's based on feelings, based on how you feel and based on what's happening. So there is such a... and I say this with love, but there's an eccentric taste to what you put out, because you're all over the board here. Now, the question, $1 million question, can you listen to your music objectively? There's no wrong answer.
No, I don't think I can. Yeah, maybe really old music. No, I don't think I'll ever be able to listen to my own music objectively. It'll always be colored by, you know, however, like, how I feel that day. If I feel like I'm hot shit that day, then I'll probably listen to things and be like, yeah, you know what, I'm feeling like low and depressed, and I'll probably listen to my own music and be like, man, what the fuck have I been doing with choir? This is so silly. I should have been a carpenter.
Oh, man, because I want to ask that question is because you said it just a few minutes ago. Your music is based on feelings, and I got to be honest. I've been doing this for a while, and I cannot listen to more than 5 minutes of myself. So I only assume someone else with that same passion or that same feeling may. I don't know if you can, because it's sort of like it always takes you back to the place where you were when you were recording.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I often put that out of my mind, I think. I've never really thought about it, but it's pretty bizarre that, like, I'm so often singing, like, every night singing about things that were, like, I found, like, deeply emotional or traumatic at the time, or something, and I've kind of just blocked them out now.
Yeah,
you know, I'm constantly singing about, like, about the death of loved ones, or the world, or heartbreak, or loneliness, or depression, or fucking anorexia, or some shit like that, and it's like. Except I just sing away every night, like there's nothing going on, and like smile at my friends, and I'm like, woo!
It's heavy!
It might be that once it's written, it's out of my brain, and it doesn't matter anymore, it's all chill.
Well, that kind of led to my next question, too. I mean, you do hit some heavy themes, you do really, like, in your music, when it's all over, when it's all the tour's done, you can finally go home. How do you unwind? How do you de-stress? How do you just shut it all down?
Oh, man. my girlfriend and smoking weed.
Okay. I mean, those are good options. Like I said, you talk about a lot of heavy themes. So I would imagine that would come to play.
but you know, lots of stuff, man. I like, because when you're on tour, you're like away for a long time, so when I get home, I'm pretty happy spending a bit of time, you know, cooking and chilling.
Wait, you could cook?
And I also, oh, hell yeah.
All right, I gotta know, what is it? If you're trying to impress, you got some people coming over, and you're cooking. What you cooking, man?
I know I can always hit the, I can hit this, like pumpkin and chickpea curry, like, 100%. I know I can always get that, and it's always going to blow minds. And it doesn't matter if you're vegan or veggie or anything. Yeah, so it's probably going to be a curry.
Okay. Now, you rock with the spice. I love, like, don't get me, I had some Jamaican the other day. Curry chicken, and like I fell in love with it. They opened up this new spot not too far away from where we record, and I know I'm gonna be a repeat customer, so I gotta know, man. You said curry, and that rung a few bells in my ear. How you rock with curry? Do you like the spices, or are you just kind of stay away from it just in certain dishes?
Nah, man, I love the spices. Yeah, this one, I think the one I make is more of an Indian style. But okay. Man, I've been living in London for a while now, and like, yeah, I'm with you on the Jamaican cuisine there. It's fucking great stuff, eh?
I'm telling you, man, ain't nothing like it.
Yeah, so much Caribbean culture in London, and I reckon that's pretty much the best part of the city.
Okay. All right. Now, I gotta ask this question, too. This is one of those got-tos. Now, I read a while ago. I don't know. It could have changed. It could have been in the moment. But it said you had, like, if you had a dream collaboration with somebody, if you had to pick one person, you said, hands down, without a fight, you will pick Erykah Badu. Now, that struck me because I like her stuff. I like your stuff. You guys wouldn't exactly see you guys on the same bill. But I'm curious, what about Erykah got you smitten, want to work with her and stuff, man?
I don't know, man. I can't even remember saying that. I feel like I would have probably said Andre 3000.
Even weirder!
Hey.
Even weirder of a collaboration, because I could at least see Erykah doing harmonies with you. I'm sorry, please elaborate, both of them, Andre 3000. Why would you like to collaborate with Andre 3000?
Because he seems like a real chill guy and real fun. He's one of the greatest, like, musical geniuses. He can slip into any style. Like, he plays like bass clarinet and free jazz. He can rap like better than anyone, arguably. He can shred the guitar. You know, he seems like a real artist, and he seems like a relaxed guy. So, you know, like, there are plenty of real genius musicians out there, but I wouldn't actually want to collaborate with them because it probably wouldn't be any fun.
Okay.
But he seems like it'd be real fun.
Okay. That's fair, man. It just sort of like hit me because most people kind of, for lack of a better term, stay in a lane. People kind of close to what they're working with. You went the other way, like way the other way with that one. So,
you got it.
And most of his songs are about happy themes. So that's why I was just kind of like, okay, cool. Maybe like a yin yang type of element.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Andre has the same thing that we do, where keeping things bouncy, and he's not afraid to make people laugh. But I think a lot of people mistake that accepting humor as like lacking legitimacy or something like that. Like, I think a lot of people find it really hard to see humor and artistic and emotional integrity is in the same boat, but they have to be. You know, humor is like a really essential human emotion, as well as sadness and all that stuff.
Well,
a lot of his songs are actually real, real heavy underneath.
Well, you guys do share that in common, because you do talk about heavy issues, but the lyrics that you do have are a little tongue-in-cheek, a little sarcastic, you know. It does have that. Yeah, there is that element of that in your stuff, too, because, and you're obviously a comedy fan. Like, when you get...
Yeah. Well, you gotta laugh, hey?
Yeah, because I hear the references, and my thing is, you have this weird line of comedy, something to do with philosophers and space. A lot of space themes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's all just a big fucking joke, I suppose, in the end. And, I don't know any more than anyone else, and even sometimes, even the space thing is like, in one sense, it is genuine like amazement and wonder at space. But in another sense, it's like taking the piss out of ourselves.
I get it.
That we're like some sort of fucking, you know, psychedelic cosmonauts, when in actual fact we're just like sipping cups of tea and like writing music on a fucking computer or whatever, you know. It's like, it's all pretty funny, the whole thing.
True. There was this, I think you appreciate this, you are a comedy fan. I saw the little documentary on Jerry Seinfeld a couple years ago. What he have in his office, he has like this huge poster of like the galaxy taken by like the Hubble spaceship, right?
I'm not sure.
He has that to let himself know that whatever he does, he's just an insignificant speck on the grand scheme of things. So
yeah, man, I think that is a really important thing in comedy and philosophy and life in general, is just like remembering that you ain't shit, pretty much.
There's a perspective with that. Honestly, you can be the greatest whatever you are, but you are the greatest whatever you are right now. The next greatest thing is going to come and nudge you out, so just enjoy it while you can, and then when it's time for you to go, don't make a stink about it, just get out.
Exactly, man. And I think, the expectation of, the expectation that everyone has on artists or musicians or whatever to be like, to be prophetic or something is just is really flattering, but it's also really hilarious, because no one knows anything.
And it's very few artists that stand the test of time. Like, I'm pretty sure somewhere deep dark in your basement or whatever, there was an artist that you listen to growing up that you have a little bit of shame, you're ashamed to bring it up right now, because they were that person at the time. Like, I'll air it out right now. I, growing up, loved Wham. To some degree still do. But I'm not finna just belt out Wham songs as I did as a kid. Now, I don't think that's my go-to.
There's nothing wrong with Wham.
There's nothing wrong with it, but they were for the time.
Yeah, totally.
So not I need to know who was yours. Who was your for the time? Yeah, you get a little rosy cheeked whenever it comes up.
Oh, Korn. I think I was really into Korn.
Who wasn't? I was too. That whole rap rock thing that they did, that mid-90s.
Oh, it's disgusting, but I kind of love it, you know?
Yeah, it was them, Limp Bizkit.
Nothing like white dreadlocks.
It was another one. Insane Clown Posse. There we go.
Who?
Oh, you don't know about ICP, Insane Clown Posse?
Oh, dude, I know them. Yeah, I don't think I ever... I'm not trying to protect my ego or anything, but
yeah.
I never got into them.
They, honestly, to some degree, were the epitome of that. To some degree, they beat Korn in that realm because at least Korn, around the Issues album... Kind of got wind to what was happening.
Oh,
no, they just kept going. ICP kept going. Like
they're massive. Hey,
maybe because of proximity, because they are from Michigan, like I am. I'm broadcasting from Detroit, so maybe it's a proximity thing since they're so close. But they're still going.
Yeah, no, they could start their own country. They're like...
Yeah, with the Juggalos, yeah, of course.
They're so popular, aren't they? Fucking... What's that drink they all love?
Faygo, trust me. Here we go. Yeah, this kind of dovetails in what we were talking about. Look, Nick, you are going to be here Monday at the L Club.
Yeah.
I want everyone under the sound of our voices right now to get out there, check you guys out at the L Club, and I can't guarantee a lot of things, Nick, I guarantee there will be Faygo references. If not, someone is going to hand you one.
Right. Do I need to prepare or
no? It's just a Detroit thing. Just get ready for it. Every city has their thing. Like we talked about earlier, you're a bit of a road dog. You are finding this out. I can't guarantee a lot of things in this world, but I guarantee someone's gonna hand you a Faygo, or as far as soft drinks, someone's gonna hand you a Faygo, a Verner's, and.
Yeah, right.
Let's just stick with those two. Just drink it objectively.
Yeah.
I hope it tastes good to you.
I can't wait, honestly.
It's going to come up, Nick. So just be ready for it. And I hope people are ready to see you guys. And I hope you're ready to perform for them at the L Club, man.
Hell yeah.
It was great talking to you, man. We got to continue this another time. But for right now, I know you're on a limited schedule, Nick. Thank you so much for calling to the podcast. And I'll talk to you soon.
Nah, it's been a pleasure, man. Have a good one.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.